It's a little hard to look outside at the glorious Pacific, the mountains, the forest trees, the crisp and beautiful light of autumn here on the West Coast, this paradise that we live in, and imagine any of the things happening that we just heard in our gospel reading today from the book of Matthew. I mean, it looks pretty calm out there. All is well in God's magnificent nature, at least as far as I can tell. And today's readings are eschatological in nature, eschatological, a big word that means the end times. They deal with the end of the world, the end of humankind, judgment day, the destiny of humanity. It's kind of a funny way to begin the new church year on this first Sunday in Advent, talking about the end of the world. So what exactly does Jesus have to say about the eschaton, the end of the world? Jesus says, but about that day, an hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So what's the point, you might ask, of Jesus bringing up the vivid end of all things just to tell us that we don't know anything about it? We humans, since the beginning of Christendom, have had a lot of fun imagining what the end of the world could possibly look like. In recent years, the popularity of apocalyptic movies fills the seats at movie theaters. My daughter in her film studies class just watched Mad Max, and she kept coming home saying, "This movie is crazy." And we kept saying, "Yeah, it is." But I remember a movie called The Day After Tomorrow, and I refused to watch that movie. I don't know if any of you saw that movie, The Day After Tomorrow. I refused to see it because it could have also been called 2 days from today, and so I thought that was just silly. But another example of our fascination with the end times is one of my favorite television shows called The Good Place. Does anyone watch The Good Place? I'm so surprised that none of you watch The Good Place. It's such a good show. But it's this show on television where the main characters, they're in a post-death situation, and they think they're in the good place, but sometimes they realize they might not be in the good place, the bad place. And so through a hilarious exploration of moral philosophy, they try to figure out where they are and why they're there and what they did to deserve it. It's one of the most popular shows on TV right now because people love thinking about how all of this will go from a calm day in a beautiful life to something unimaginable. Now, whether movies or TV shows like this is your thing or not, end time stories are very popular because they give us a glimpse of something we can't possibly know anything about unless it's happening. And so we like to place it somewhere far off on the timeline as we make up stories about things we can't imagine being part of ourselves in real life because we don't know. But by telling us that we don't know about the eschaton, Jesus tells us a lot. It can be easy to fall into the trap of making our faith about the end goal, right? There'll be plenty of time for rest when we're dead, right? There'll be plenty of time for that when we're in the kingdom of heaven. Who knows what that will look like? But we place a lot of our hope in a faraway and an imaginary scenario. But we are people who are marked by death and resurrection. We can become enamored with thinking about what God's kingdom will be like. And when that happens, we lose sight of the gift that we have been given in this world and in this life, right here and right now. Now, this separation from things of the world is a common subject amongst Christians. In the book of Romans, Paul writes that we must lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. He goes on to list things that we should avoid, which he considers to be part of that darkness. The thing is, in telling us to stay away from them, he really kind of shortchanges the world in some ways. this beautiful creation that God made for our delight. It isn't as simple. We all know it isn't as simple as do this or don't do that. Those of you who watch The Good Place, or even those of you who have some experience just living life, will know that there are no easy answers about what is bad and what is good, because that would be way too easy. Way too easy for the complexity of life and faith and relationship and community together with God. Now, we all know that life is less black and white and is more lived in the gray. When we are too focused on those things that we think of as being dark, when we focus on heaven as the only place of beauty and goodness, we run the risk of not only ignoring beauty and goodness of the world, but also, more importantly, our responsibility to the world. At the beginning of creation, when God was busy forming things and naming all of the things with feathers or fur or leaves, God called them good. The world is good. This is part of our ancient story. And we are good, made in God's image. Our lives of faith are not supposed to be focused on the world and creation, to come to the detriment of the one. We have been given a mandate to love the place where we are. We have been given a mandate to love our God and to love our neighbors and to love ourself. And that is complicated and messy and never black and white, and it cannot be done by shirking our responsibility or putting it off for another day. Now, many of us are concerned about climate change. There have been many concerns about the earth and about the state of the earth over the years. Some say we are in a climate crisis and our world is on fire. And given this predicament, it makes sense that we would also be eager to look for the end times, for another world, coming to save us from this mess that we've made, trying to find solutions for problems like climate change that can be too big to imagine, too much to bear. The problems are immense, and in trying to address them, we confront our own mortality. Into this particular moment, these words coming to us from Jesus seem particularly important to hear. About that day and hour, no one knows. Living in the unknown, in what we cannot fathom or plan for, that can make us crazy, because we're people that want certainty. We want to know how things are going to be. But unfortunately, today, that is not what Jesus is offering us. He is offering us an invitation into the world that we are already in, an invitation to this planet, to this world, to this place, and to this time, with all of its dark and all of its light, because not one bit of it is outside of the realm of God, who continues to break into this world now and not yet. And this, as followers of Christ, this is what we hope for. This and every Advent, we ask ourselves, how are we ready ourselves for the day of the fullness of God's coming? Now, paradoxically, we can ready ourselves to leave this world by truly living in it, by soaking up every grace-filled moment, every wave we watch wash upon the shore, every sunlit autumn leaf, every moment of true joy that sneaks up on us in the midst of very, very hard things. This Advent season is one that too often comes and goes without noticing it. We gather with family and friends, but often focus on the shopping that we haven't done or the recipe that didn't turn out like the picture. We distract ourselves into a slumber and we miss the profound and terrifying and wonderful implications of our faith in a God who is expected to arrive into our lives at any moment now, right when we feel all hope is lost. Jesus is coming at an unexpected hour. It might be the moment we have on Christmas Eve. Maybe we'll find Jesus in the flicker of the candles. Jesus might come as our child bursts through the doors, happy to be home for the holidays. He might come in some test results or some unexpected news about a family member. In good and kind, exceptional medical care. Jesus might come in the relative that we thought we'd never hear from. We don't know where Jesus would surprise us. But we can be sure that it will be in this world, using what has been ordinary and transforming it into something wonderful. I mean, after all, this is the God who comes to us in the most ordinary bread and the most ordinary wine each week, transforming these simple elements into food for the journey. About that day and hour, no one knows, says Jesus. Today, may this be an invitation. Jesus is waiting, ready to surprise us, ready to delight us, and ready to be with us. Amen.